scripture that comes to us from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Hear the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we give thanks for the gift of this day, for the story that has been taught to us through children's songs and through sing-alongs. Lord, we give thanks for the gift of your presence that comes to meet us now. Meet us as you did Zacchaeus along the way. Call us out by name that we might know of your invitation and your grace at work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is always an interesting one to me because the number one thing that we focus in on Zacchaeus is his size. The wee little man was he. And so I found myself reflecting a little bit, in part because I'm not exactly the tallest of human beings, in case you didn't notice. But I found myself thinking back to something that I used to hear a lot, but it wasn't always necessarily connected to size. And in some ways, we often say it about our dog, Mason, who is a little rat terrier. We say that he has little man syndrome. Have you ever heard of that before? Now, here's the thing about little man syndrome. It has very little to do with size and more to do with attitude. And so as we come to our story today, while we're going to introduce ourselves to Zacchaeus, who is this one who is short in stature, part of what we're going to have to deal with is the little person syndrome that emerges within our story. And here's the interesting thing. It's not the one who's short in stature who falls into its trap. You see, our story today is a pretty easy one to lay out. Jesus is coming to town. And so, as Jesus is making his tour through communities on his way to Jerusalem, people are excited. They have come out to see him, such that there are crowds along the road. And for the one who comes to see him, this chief tax collector, we know that the kind of characteristic thing about a crowd is that if you're shorter, you can't see very well, right? Not a hard thing for us to follow. This part of the story seems fairly easy to make sense. Oh, okay. Now here's where it gets a little tricky, because we may not know some of the protocols for the day. Have you ever noticed a rich man to go running down the street and climb a tree? I want you to think about it for a minute. Last time you were in New York, possibly, did you see a rich man run down the road to climb a tree so that he could see the Macy's Day Parade better? Not likely. In fact, it would have been undignified for Zacchaeus to be one running. It would have been a point of ridicule. It's okay. I love that we have toys that speak and talk. And it's going to just keep going, isn't it, Casey? So on this road, Zacchaeus decides it's more important for him to see this Jesus who's coming into his midst. And so, in the face of possible ridicule, he runs. He climbs a sycamore tree, or, you know, sometimes in some translations it's called a sycamore fig tree. It did have fruit, which ironically, the poor consumed, not the rich. And so Zacchaeus, this man who was a chief tax collector who was rich, climbs the tree where the poor would have found food to consume. Now, some things you need to know about Zacchaeus and a little bit of why the ridicule would have been there. Joel did a great job of introducing him to our kids. The things you need to hear, it says Zacchaeus lived in this community. He was a chief tax collector, which meant he was likely not the one that went from home to home collecting taxes. He was the one that they brought that to who was responsible for paying Rome the taxes. And anything extra that would be collected would be his. And so it was not uncommon for there to be a great deal of defrauding that would happening, of extorting from those that you were collecting taxes. Because Rome only cared that they got what they were saying that they required. Anything beyond that was completely up to that. Well, if you're a person that's on the margins, it's kind of hard to throw a fit to Rome when somebody's taking more taxes, because their way of peace is a way of violence. The peace of Rome is not the kind of peace you really want, because if you're a rabble-rouser or somebody who causes trouble, well, we know what comes of them, right? Because we see it in Jesus, in his own death. They silence you. And so to this one who represented this was not one that they welcomed within their community. Would not have been one that they would have expected that this incredible visitor, who many people had been talking about, they'd been hearing of his miracles, they'd been hearing of his teachings. He was a powerful teacher. The fact that he would walk into this town and along the way stop and call out the chief tax collector by name and say, "I'm going to stay with you and your home," would have been a radical act. Such that you would have thought Jesus would have been the one ridiculed. But oh no, that's not how we work. And I say we, meaning that human condition kind of works more to focus in on the one that we see as not worthy. I'm intrigued a little bit by our story, in part because the crowd is the one that most intrigues me in our story. You see, the crowd is the one that really falls into that little man syndrome I mentioned earlier, or that little person syndrome. It's not so much about height, it's more about attitude and how we see persons around us. And I fear sometimes, if we're really honest, church, we sometimes fall into this trap as well, where we see a person for who they are, not for who they can be. We see a person for who they are, not who they can be. And so when we see the transformation or we hear of it of Zacchaeus, each of us could probably name someone in our own life that we said, "Oh yeah, they've promised this before. They're not really going to change. They can only be who they are." And so it's much easier to place somebody in a box of what they were than to see who they can become. But the grace of our story today is that Jesus didn't see Zacchaeus for who he was, but who he could become. Salvation will come to his home. He sees the transformation where Zacchaeus realizes that he will give up half of what he has. He'll pay back those he's defrauded. Does it really come to be? We don't really know. We're only left with the conclusion of the story. And in fact, Jesus goes on to begin telling the story more of this radical way in which we might consider our very lives an investment of how we might live out our lives. You know, and so in some ways, the trap of becoming like the crowd is, it's easier to point to the lack of transformation that we see in someone else than to own the change that needs to happen in our own life. Whew, Lord, have mercy. That might move from preaching to meddling, right? If we're really honest, we would much rather say, "Well, I'm not really Zacchaeus. Maybe I'm one of the disciples." But reality is we're standing in the crowd and we don't know that the disciples weren't among those going, "Why is he going to another tax collector? Can we not stay out of the limelight long enough?" Can you imagine the disciples at moments had frustrations with even Jesus? Here he goes again. He's going to rile everybody up and get everybody frustrated. Here goes that preacher again. He might even talk about money, right? Those kind of subjects we'd rather be left alone. I imagine the disciples might even have been among the grumblers. Maybe they didn't say it out loud, but maybe they too were among those that thought, "Really? Why would we go to his house? That's only going to cause more controversy for us. Why would we be the ones that would go and embrace the person that's on the margins? Why do we need to know the name of the guy who stands at the street corner panhandling? Why do we need to know of the man who is the town drunk or alcoholic? That's just who he is. We don't have time for this. I'm too busy for all that." Why would Jesus spend any time with that one? That's convicting when we hear it that way, right? When we hear the crowd so focused and shouting on who he was and only seeing him through that lens. Last I checked, I'm really grateful that I'm seen from more than the lens of what I was. Maybe you might join me in that. Certainly, I've had to come a long way in my own journey of kind of owning some of the labels that were a part of my practice, a part of my own life journey. It took me years to kind of own and acknowledge some of those titles that would have been stamped upon me. Oh, he's that kid from the poor side of the neighborhood. Oh, he's that kid that has divorced parents. Oh, his mom's the one that's an alcoholic and gambles all the time. Oh, he's just some scrawny kid. Let's ignore him. He's not the one. You don't want him on your kickball team, which, by the way, you still probably don't. Those kind of labels we place upon ourselves, that we're not good enough, we're not worthy, that we're junk. And sadly, the world in which we live is really good at putting those kind of labels on us. And Zacchaeus would have been among those that would have had label after label, and maybe some of them he even earned, right? Maybe you and I both have earned some titles that have gotten us, oh, that person's always angry. They're never happy about anything. You know, I've learned, I've kind of called this syndrome in my life, that when I have to watch myself, I become the grumpy old man, get off my lawn. That's what I kind of call it. You know, when you begin to make comments about young people and the way they do things, yeah, I've fallen into the trap just like you maybe. Oh, if they just put their phone down, right? And so we become this grumpy crowd, and we miss the fact that Jesus is in the transformation business. He has committed himself to seeing what God sees, to seeing what they can become and who they will be. What would it look like if we as a church embraced people with that kind of love and excitement? I mean, that we saw people not for who they were at the moment, but for who God was working for them to become. Healing the brokenness that they might feel from broken relationships. Seeing those who had been devastated by poor financial decisions or just by a collapse of everything they knew to be familiar and secure. That we would see them not as the one who needed, but as the one who God had great plans for. Imagine it for a minute. What if every person that came to our food bank, for instance, that we as a congregation saw them as an incredible child of God with awesome potential? That we said, we recognize this has got to be tough, but we're here with you. We want to walk with you. We're going to make sure you not only have groceries, but what else is going on in your life that you might need? Are you struggling to find a job because you honestly don't have the clothes you would feel comfortable walking into an interview? And so you do the best you can to straighten out the wrinkled clothes you've got, but that's all you've got. You know, do you feel overwhelmed that you do not have the ability to fill out the application well? You know how humbling it is for an adult to say, I don't understand this question when they're filling out an application? But how much dignity it gives when you say, well, let's work together and figure that out. Let's not let that be a barricade for you applying and putting your name in the hat. What would it look like if every person we encountered as a congregation in our daily encounters saw the love of Christ in us? That through our encounter with them, the ways that we interacted with them, the ways we built relationship with them, that they felt truly that they had worth and value. You see, that's pretty radical. Because it's a lot easier, if we're really honest, to label and put people into little categories and boxes than to really see them for who they are. I'm so grateful that Jesus saw Zacchaeus for more than what he was, but who he could become. Can you imagine the tough part, though, of Zacchaeus living into that transformation? Of going back and giving funds to those that he had defrauded? Of finding himself among the poor? Likely becoming poor himself, because if you're giving half of your possessions and then paying four times, by the way, the law that would have been in place, and even in Leviticus you can read it, would have been 20% of defraud, not four times what you defrauded. So it's an incredible action to give that much away. He likely would have ended up fairly poor himself. He would have no longer been that chief tax collector. He probably would have had to give up that profession and find a new way to live, because in light of this encounter, he didn't want to live that way anymore. But what joy he must have found letting go of feeling that that was the only way he could be. So maybe today is the day you pause and recognize that you too are being seen by Jesus. Not for all of your warts, for all of your worries, for all of what you've been, all of the sin that might pile up, but with eyes of grace for what you could become. What might that mean for you? How might you live differently when you're seen with that kind of grace and that kind of love? I don't know. To me, I might want to drop a few things that I thought were most important so I could experience a different way of living. May the love of Jesus that encountered Zacchaeus encounter you this morning. Amen.